All right. Pine Lake in Mississippi. Who's been to Branson in the last year? Let me just see your hands. This sweet lady told me she's coming in September. I told her, spend lots of money. Let's rebound this economy. Can I get an amen on that? I always love asking young people, have you been to Branson? No, but my grandparents, they love that place. They absolutely love that place. Always feels like coming home to Pine Lake. And I want to talk today about what I've just been dealing with the last 14, 15 months and working with couples. I love coaching couples. I love helping them achieve high levels of marital satisfaction, how to enjoy life together. And I'm married to a strong woman. I want every husband in here. If you're married to a strong woman, would you raise your hand? Married to, I always love asking that question. There's some slow hands going up. Guys ask, do you want me to raise my hand right now? I don't know. This feels like a trap. I'm going to be real honest with you. If I raise it, I'm in trouble. Don't raise it, I'm in trouble. I don't care how you answer that. How you answer this next one's even more important. If you love being married to a strong woman, would you raise your hand? Let me see. Yes, I am. Pow! I am married to a strong woman, passionate woman. I can come home from a bad day at church and be like, that was a rough day at the church. She's like, fine, let's quit, move to Africa, be missionaries full time. Wow, that escalated real fast. I think we should bring it down a notch and sleep on it, definitely sleep on it. Pray about it before we go. But she loves to walk me and the dogs every night before sunset. That's what she does, and it's cooler temperatures. But I love it. And everything's about getting, I'm scaring this lady on the front row, I apologize. But everything's about getting her steps. She has her Fitbit, and we don't stroll through the neighborhood. Everything's just like this all the time. Can't we just stroll? No, and she'll ask me while we're walking, you squeezing your cheeks together? Listen. It is late. We are resting. Let's just get, but she's just a passionate woman. Everything she does is passion. She got a little worn out last year, like a lot of people did during the pandemic. A lot of opinions. I don't know if you know this, but people had a lot of opinions last year, and they were pretty free with expressing them. And in the church, we had people on both ends of everything. Every non-essential issue you can think of, they're on both ends. And Amy goes, I know what we need to do. This is the strength of my wife, what I love about her. She said, we need to put a button on our church website, very front page button that says complaints and criticisms. And I go, well, what do you do with that? She goes, anybody that wants to complain or criticize, they come on the website, they hit that button, and it sends them to another church down the road. And that's actually a pretty brilliant idea. I don't know if we could grow a church with that strategy, but my wife has a silent, patriotic laugh. My goal every day is to get this laugh out of her. When she finds something funny, she places her hand over her heart, she leans forward, and nothing comes out. And I took her once to see Jeff Foxworthy, and he does a 15-minute colonoscopy bit that is hilarious. And for 15 minutes, my wife did not breathe. That is a true story. She just sat there like this. And I don't get it every day, but my goal is to enjoy life. I get to celebrate 25 years of marriage this year in October. I've gained a pound with every year of marriage. And so I'm not Red Lobster's fresh catch of the day, but we're still growing a strong marriage. Why? Why do we have this desire to enjoy life together and have a strong marriage? It's today what I really want to hit on, because I have a lot of couples that will come and want to talk to me about marriage, but we want to talk about the foundation, building your marriage on a strong foundation. Yeah, we're going to talk about marriage, but we really want all the couples, and if you're dating, thinking about dating, getting engaged, single, I want you to think about the marriages around you as well. How can we encourage the couples all around us to have a strong foundation? I get to travel and speak. I love doing comedy nights. I love preaching like this on Sunday mornings. But I love encouraging couples to enjoy life together. It's my mission in life. And my main go-to passage is Ecclesiastes 9:9, which reads, endure life with your wife all your miserable days. Now, it's a little funny, but it's even funnier when it's not on the screen and Bibles are closed, and I, with a preacher voice, passionately go, endure life with your wife all your miserable days. And I always love, I'll get several people going, that's good, that is good. And I guess that's not what it says. It doesn't say endure life with your wife all your miserable days. It says enjoy life with your wife whom you love all the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun, all your meaningless days, a theme throughout all of Ecclesiastes. For this is your lot in life and in your toilsome labor. You know what the word toilsome there means? It means grueling. Under the sun can be grueling. Providing for a family is hard work. It's challenging. It can be difficult. But just like the bookends of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, life is hard. Chapter 12, then you die. Welcome to Pine Lake. We're here to encourage you on your journey. In the middle of life is hard and then you die, we get enjoy life with your wife in the midst of the grind. Guys, I'm here to tell you, and if you just raised your hand a minute ago, God did not give you your wife to be the grind of life. He gave you your wife to go through the grind of life with. And according to Psalm 90 and verse 10, 70 years you have upon this earth, 80 if you're strong, but those years are filled with sorrow and anguish. There it is again. You see the grind throughout all of Scripture. Life is short, it's quick, and it can be difficult and it can be painful. But in the midst of that, the warning for us is don't turn your spouse into the grind. Be grateful that you have the spouse to go through the grind with. I tell the guys in our church all the time, stop looking for greener grass. Where there's greener grass, there is a septic leak. I need you to stay home and water your own lawn. For a good time, call home. Right? Because marital satisfaction is a choice. It's not an outcome. It's not something we wait for or we hope we find or think if we just, we're going to stumble into it. It doesn't work that way. And I'm all for meeting online. I'm going to ask in here across all the campuses, Madison, Clinton, Oxford. Sorry, raise your hand if you met online. Let me just see. It's okay. It's always a slow raise. Like, because the seniors are going, is that legal? Totally legal to meet online. Because it doesn't matter how you meet, right? It's what you do after you meet. Online daters are always like, that's exactly right. It's what you do after you meet. And I tell a couple, I don't care if you met on eHarmony, Match.com, FarmersOnly.com, Ancestry.com. I don't care how you meet. It's what you do after you meet. It's the choice that you make. Your spouse is not the grind. Your spouse is a companion through the grind. And it's a choice, it's a decision. And we're gonna talk a lot today about the decision and the decision that we need to make to have a strong foundation. I don't know, every time I say strong, my teeth stay together. I still don't, but I'm passionate about this foundation because with the couples that I worked with throughout the pandemic, why did some couples thrive and other couples struggle? And I kept coming back to this one word, foundation. Foundation. We built our house on limestone. And I don't know if you know anything about limestone. All that means is there are certain seasons that not all of our doors and windows work. And I have one door in my daughter's bedroom that I brought people out to trim that door down because it doesn't close or open completely in the winter. So they take some off the top, some off the bottom. It's starting to look like one of those saloon doors. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. I could fix the foundation, which makes more sense. Fix the foundation, and I wouldn't have to keep fixing these doors and windows. A lot of times couples come to me, they want help with the house, they want help with the marriage, but we have to start with the foundation. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 7 as you're turning there. One more thing about marital satisfaction as we build this out. Spent a lot of time over the last year encouraging couples around the country with this. Marital satisfaction depends on factors and skills couples can do something about in any season or stage of life. Now, when I'm working with a couple, they often want me to help them get out of the season or the stage. Very difficult season, very difficult stage that I'm in. But Ted, here's what I know. Once I get out of this season or this stage, then we can enjoy life together. I hear it all the time. And I'm like, but what if we looked at the factors and skills that work for marital satisfaction in any season or stage? For example, we just came through a very difficult season called a global pandemic. I couldn't help couples out of the pandemic. I could do my part in it, but I couldn't help anybody. I couldn't end the pandemic. Couples come in with a 3, a 5, and a 7-year-old. And guess what? When they leave the office, they still got a 3, a 5, and a 7-year-old. I can't get rid of their kids for them. They're in this season or this stage, but what we can look at are the factors and skills. I was recently at a church. It doesn't matter which church. It was First Baptist Dallas. And I have an autocorrect problem. And I've sent out some pretty rough tweets over the years. In one church in Prescott, Arizona, I tweeted out, hey, you know, join us tonight for a fun date night. I meant to say we're going to be looking at the 6 levels of communication. I tweeted out we're going to be looking at the 6 levels of communism. And so I don't know if you've ever done a date night, you know, where you've looked at communism for a long period of time, but it's probably not going to be a real fun date night. But I almost tweeted out I was doing a date night in October in the middle of the pandemic for First Baptist Dallas, and I almost tweeted out, but I caught it, and I'm learning to have one more set of eyes on it before I send stuff out. But this, I almost tweeted this out. Hey, join us tonight for a fun date night where we're gonna be looking at the factors and skills that lead to high levels of marijuana satisfaction. And I tagged it with, let's roll. So, I mean, that's a terrible, absolutely terrible tweet. So I stopped that one. We go through different seasons or stages, and you can even say, as we're gonna see in the text today, storms. Every couple goes through storms. Let's look at those factors and skills. Dr. Robert Holden in 2011, he coined this term, destination addiction. And I think we struggle with this a lot in America. And I hear it. I hear it almost on a weekly basis. This is a tough week. If I just get through this week, next week will be better. We do the same thing with the seasons and stages of life. It's the belief that joy is not possible today. Not possible in the season or stage that I'm in, but it awaits me in the next season or stage of life. Some of you are that way with your job. I just gotta grind out this job. I can't enjoy life during this job. It'll be in the next one. It'll be in the next church. It'll be in the next town. It'll be in the next marriage. We have fallen for this idea that I can't enjoy it now, but that next season or stage rolls around, we will enjoy life together. And I'm here to tell you, if you wait for joy in the next season or stage of life, you won't find it in this one. Why? Because you're not looking for it. More importantly, you're not choosing it. You're not making the decision. And so when we talk about these factors and skills, and this is what I love about coaching. A good coach helps you with specifics. I love specifics. One of the reasons I hate grocery shopping. Does anybody, raise your hand, men. I don't know why I keep talking to the men today. Raise your hand if you hate grocery shopping. Let me just see your hand. Let me tell you the reason why I hate grocery shopping. I get sent in with these vague lists. Like it'll say tomatoes, canned tomatoes. Well, let me tell you, there's a lot of different kinds of tomatoes. There's diced, there's crushed, there's peeled. I need specifics to help me be a better grocery shopper. My wife once texted me. She only needed one thing from the store. She sent me into Sunfest for prepared mustard. That's all the text said, prepared mustard. I go to the section. We have a very generous mustard section. We have a very generous ketchup section. I spent 5-10 minutes scanning every single row. There's yellow mustard, Dijon mustard, there's hot and spicy, there's all every mustard you can think of. I was infuriating, I was ticked off. This sweet 80-year-old lady walks up to me and I go, "Ma'am, I'm sorry, I gotta bug you for a second. Could you please help me?" And I have, you know, my phone with the text on the one thing, it says prepared mustard. I go, "Can you help me find prepared mustard?" And this is all she did. She looked at me, she looked at the shelf. She looked back at me, didn't say a word, and this is all she did. Now, I felt like an idiot, but watch, I ain't the only idiot in here. Raise your hand if you, for the first time in your life, just learned what prepared mustard is. Let me just see you. Look around the room. You can now say, I was today years old when I learned what prepared mustard is. Yeah. It's all of it. And so that's why I got home and I told Amy, I found it. You've got to be specific. So hopefully today there's going to be specifics that you can leave here going, we will do this as we work on our foundation. We are going to choose this. The power of decisions. Decisions have power. So what was natural early on, you need to be intentional with later on. Early on in a dating relationship, a lot of these factors and skills, they're like breathing. No one has to tell you early in a dating or engagement, you know, hey, you should probably talk more. You should spend more time together, right? More quality time. No one has to tell a young and in love couple to spend more time together. That's all they do. No one has to tell a young and in love couple, hey, you should touch more. You should touch. Guys, we have to be, you've been married 10, 15, 20 years, and you find we don't touch like we did when we were early on. I need to remind the men in here, according to research, your wife needs 12 non-sexual touches a day, and it's not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. It's a hair over the ear. It's a hand on the small of the back, right? It's hand holding, hand on the thigh, kiss on the forehead, kiss on the cheek. You need to be intentional. I was at a church recently, and I've never had this happen before, but spell check got the church. It was on the lower thirds, and I'm going, having a great time. We're connecting and sharing, encouraging couples, and then I completely lost everybody, and I'm like, what is happening? I looked up, and on the screen it said, what was natural early on must become international later on. And I'm here to tell you, you do not need to leave the country to have a great marriage. You don't even need to leave the state of Mississippi. I was just in Michigan, and I opened that comedy night by saying, thanks for letting me in. Anyway, that's it for political jokes. You know, no, I'm going to give you one more, just because everybody needs to lighten up. Can I get an amen on that one? We all need to lighten up. I told Michigan, you don't even need to leave the country. You don't even need to leave the state. Besides, your governor probably won't let you. Anyway, they told me I could be a little more relaxed at 9:30. 8's pretty like, ooh, okay, but you're open to it. I'm about to tell some of those jokes that the staff's like, don't tell those. No, do not tell those. Okay, so we're going to back off on those. Yeah, I am. What was natural early on must become intentional later on. You're making decisions. It's calling it out. Quality time, physical touch. How about this? Just even thoughts. Right? You couldn't get your spouse when you were dating and engaged. You couldn't get each other off your mind, right? That's all you thought about. You went to bed thinking, you dreamed, you woke up. That's it. You have to be intentional with it later on. And so, you know, my goal today, my prayer is that this feels more like a coaching session than it does a sermon, to just encourage you after the difficult year we've had to work on your foundation and put into practice the factors and skills, making decision to enjoy life together. I read this last week by Jeff Graham, and I thought it was powerful, speaking of just the importance of why you need to be plugged into your church, of why you need to be not just attending, this is good, this is a good start, but plugged into biblical community, because I want to go pro level with my marriage. And I think one of the reasons my marriage has had the moments that it's had over the years, and Amy and I have grown stronger in our 25 years, is because of the people I've surrounded our marriage with, who we've surrounded our marriage with. We've had pros speaking into it, and you have so many great voices here that want to speak into your marriage. And he says this, whether in marriage, guitar, or tennis, pick your sport. I love fly fishing. One can certainly become decent without guidance, but the novice's likelihood of sticking with it, advancing to intermediate, and then developing into a pro goes way up with great coaching and deliberate practice, right? Being intentional with the factors and skills. Your marriage is doing one of two things right now. Every marriage in here, everyone watching online, is doing across the campuses, doing one of two things. You're either deciding or you're drifting. You're either choosing to enjoy life together or you're drifting. No one wakes up and decides to drift in their marriage. No one goes to bed thinking, you know, tomorrow we're just gonna be done with it all. No one. Drift happens because you're no longer deciding. If we were to look at it in like play routes or whatever, this is just a simple graphic. I encourage you maybe even take a picture of it so you can discuss it later. But think back of when you met, attracted, there was chemistry, the feelings were there, you're falling in love, and at some point you got on the bus together. You established a dating relationship, you got engaged, you were then married. And your marriage, this bus, is only going to go down one of two roads. You will either continue for the rest of your marriage to choose, to decide to enjoy life together, live in discovery, which is curiosity and fascination, devotion and dedication, or you'll stop deciding and you'll just start to drift. By the way, I could do this exact same chart with your faith. We either deciding to follow Jesus and pressing into Jesus, or we're drifting. Drifting, you become disillusioned, disconnected, ultimately leads to divorce. And let me tell you, a friend of mine in marriage ministry put it this way, and I love it. He said, over the course of your marriage, you will be married to 5 to 7 different people. Why? Because the seasons and stages of life change us. We are not the same people after we get. I always love, this is where the wives go, he is different. I don't get flowers like I used to. And you're starting to think through what was once natural. and what you need to become intentional with now. But yeah, they change us. But here's what, it's okay. Because I've changed. I've probably changed 3 or 4 times. Guess what? Kids will change you. And all the parents said. Yeah, bills change you. And all the married people said, single said, yeah, bills change you. Guess what? Jobs change you. Pandemics change you. Tim Smith and I were talking about it today. Yeah, just the number of our friends in ministry and the number of friends around the country had that they're just, we're different people in 2021 than we were in 2020. But because Amy and I are in a marriage where we're deciding, now Amy's just getting to date somebody new. She's getting to learn. Well, how has it? It's one of the best questions you could have asked over the last year. How are you doing today? Learning, being curious and fascinated. The problem is if you're not deciding and your spouse changes, children changing it, bills changing it, job changes it, our physical health changes the person that we are, right? And I'm in drift. Well, now this is when I hear, this is usually when I start meeting with couples, in disillusionment. Now it's the, this isn't what I signed up for. It's not what I signed up for. He's changed, she's changed. But the same seasons and stages of life changing us can lead us to discovery. And that's why I want us to talk about our foundation. In Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24, Jesus is going to give the foundation of the wise and foolish builders. And I love this short parable. It's easy to remember. It's a great one to teach our kids. It's at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is going to give this story to say, hey, how you building your life? You going to do it like the religious leaders of the day, the teachers of the law? Or are you going to take the words that I give you and build your life, put them into practice and make it the foundation of your life? There's several observations that we can make out of this. And I think the most important one as we read through this is for you to see that both the wise and the foolish builders both go through the same storm. We have to be very careful when we look at seasoned believers or when we look at seasoned couples. They've been married 40 years, 50 years. They enjoy life together. We have to be very careful that we don't assume, well, the reason they have a great marriage is because they've had an easy life. No. I've seen it time and time again. It is the foundation on which they built their marriage. Jesus says this, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, key here, and puts them into practice, because it's the observation of both the wise and foolish builders. Both of them hear. Both of them hear. It reminds me of Acts chapter 17, when Paul stands before the men of Athens and he preaches the gospel. He preaches the resurrected Jesus in a place that's full of idols. And he says of the resurrected Jesus, in him we live and move and have our being. There were 3 responses that day. Some laughed it off. They were sneered. They didn't want to hear about the resurrection of the dead. Others became seekers and said, hey, we'd like to hear about this again. And some followed. But you know what's true of all 3 of those? They all heard. And when you hear, it demands a response. So the point of this parable, Jesus is saying, put them into practice. It's not just about hearing the word of God. It's making it your foundation, putting it into practice. It's like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now here's the storm. You're going to see it with the foolish builder as well. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew, beat against that house. Some of you are experiencing that right now. Some of you, the pandemic is at the end, but you still are feeling that your house is taking a beating. But look it, yet it did not fall. It didn't fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Every time I hear this text or read this text, I think about that song we sang all the time in our church growing up. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. This is the only foundation I want to build my life on. It's the only foundation I want to build my marriage on. As I send a daughter off to college this fall, as my son's finishing up high school, I want my kids to leave with the foundation because they're going to go build their own lives. Boy, I wanted to leave with the foundation, Christ Jesus, the rock, and putting into practice his words and his teaching. But look at the foolish builder. Again, 2 verses with 2 verses, and they're almost identical, but just one slight difference. One puts them into practice, and the other does not. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sinking sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. And over the last year, I've worked with a lot of couples who have experienced a great crash. I've been doing marriage ministry for about 20 years, and something I've noticed, you have seasoned couples that, I mean, they've been through it. They've been through years and years and years of cancer treatments. They've been through the loss of a child. They've been through financial ruins. I mean, just complete bankruptcy and loss. And I look at them, I go, why do I see some couples that they come out of that stronger? Like they come out of those difficult seasons and those terrible, terrible storms where it was beating against their house and yet they stood. And others who crashed. Why did I see some couples that when the storms come, they're not surprised, they're not shaken, they're steady, and they're secure. It's their foundation. And I see others who the storm hits and it's like, I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe this is coming at us. That's why we need to work on the foundation. I met this couple, Lloyd and Jean. You want to talk about a strong foundation? I met them in Iowa City, Iowa, at a conference. And when this picture was taken, they were celebrating 69 years of marriage. And I followed them every year. I text with the pastor. I wanted to know where they are. And I last heard that they made it to 73 years of marriage. And I'll never forget Lloyd and Jean. Lloyd coming up to me first at the end of a conference. And I mean, he shuffled over to me. I just sat there waiting. I think he's coming to me. And I'll never forget this World War II veteran putting his finger in my chest and saying, listen, young man. I'm like, yes, sir. Yeah. And he said, you don't stop. He said, I wish we would have had stuff like this when we first got married. They got engaged before he went to war, wrote her a letter almost every day from Europe. And he said, I wish we had something like this. And then he just spoke a blessing over me. A seasoned couple with a strong foundation. We have to be careful not to look at couples who, at 69 years of marriage, smiling like that and going, well, they must have had it easy. Easy? They went through war together, literally. They went through struggles. They went through difficult times. They went through challenges. I'll never forget, it was one of the best moments I've ever had in an event. Jean reached in her purse. She didn't say much. Look at that smile. She reaches in her purse and she grabs two identical collapsible canes. And she hands one to Lloyd. And both of them at the same time, like Indiana Jones, go. And I called my wife and I said, we need two canes and two of those rocking chairs from Cracker Barrel. Because we've made the decision, and I hope every married couple in here makes the decision today. We're in this, and we are going to build our foundation on Christ until either he returns or calls one of us home. That's our commitment. If you're not yet married, I look around and see a lot of young people. Any engaged people? Let me just see. Anybody engaged, getting ready to get married? Put that in your vows. I like that. I hope you all treat Chip this well. Yeah, put it in. And to make it the end of the vows until the Lord returns or calls one of us home. Seasoned believers. To give you kind of the anatomy of a crash, because there are some couples in here that have crashed. There are some that are crashing. Probably everyone in here knows of a couple that's crashing, and this is, lean into this. Single or married, lean into this so that you can help people who are crashing. We need the whole church involved in honoring marriage, esteeming marriage as highly valuable. We need the whole church involved with lifting people up and encouraging the marriages all around them. It may be you, but this is also if you're doing good right now and your marriage is experiencing high levels of marital satisfaction, take this as prevention. Because when a couple crashes, and I've seen it time and time again, it starts with blaming each other. Well, it's your fault. This is the ultimate level of stuckness. When your spouse is the source of all your problems, you don't even know you're doing it. You automatically set your spouse up to be the solution. When your spouse is the source and the solution, you're stuck. And you're waiting for them. I got good news for you. It only takes one spouse to begin working on their foundation. It can turn a whole marriage around. And let's start right now, just a little fun with that. I'm going to have you raise your right hand and repeat after me. Everybody can do this. Everybody raise your right hand and repeat after me. I state your name. Yeah, we got, there's comedians in every church I visit. Do hereby resign as general manager of the universe. And if you're married, say, and my spouse. Now just point to whoever you're with right now and simply say the words, you're fired. You will no longer suck the life out of me. No, don't say that. I'm teaching it. I'm back to the teaching portion. This is the teaching portion of the message. You want to end the blame game? Fire your spouse as the source of life. Plug into the true and only source of life. And spend your days working on your foundation. Because if you don't stop it there, it moves to a closed heart. Whew. I've worked lately with some couples that, I mean, it's just like you walk in the room. And if this were to describe their hearts, closed, not open, closed. I met a lady on the East Coast years ago. She came up to me after an event, and she was mad. She said, Pastor! I was like, what? She said, my husband left me. Do you know why he left me? I'm getting a little picture of it. I'm sure it's not the whole thing, but I'm getting just a little picture. He left me because he couldn't handle being married to a strong woman. And I'm like, I'm married to a strong woman, right? I'm married to a strong woman. That's not why he left you. Well, what do you think it was? Okay, settle down. It had something to do with your... And two things, Dr. Gary Smalley, my mentor, the pro, the expert that came into my life and into my marriage to help Amy and I. I said, you never bury anger dead, you always bury it alive, and it will resurface in another relationship if you don't resolve this anger. I said, an unresolved anger is like drinking poison, expecting the other person to get sick, and I said, ma'am, right now you're drinking it by the gallons. You have to resolve your anger. If you don't do this, you'll begin to isolate from others. Couples who are crashing love to say this line because they've fallen for this line of the enemy. No one understands what I'm going through, and I'm here to tell you, not true. Not true. Dr. Scott Stanley says, everybody falls in love with the front end of the puppy. I love when someone walks in on these lines, like, what is going on in this church? But every puppy has a back end. And let me tell you something, every seasoned couple in here has a back end story. This is why you need to be in small group. You need a recovery group. Whatever community you need to plug into here at Pine Lake, plug in. Why? I can't tell you the number of times Amy and I are stressed out or going through a difficult season or stage. We go to small group. We come back. I fall over the steering wheel in the car. I'm like, wow, at least we're not as jacked up as all those other couples in that room. Did you hear what he said? And then she said that. And then that. They're a mess. They're an absolute mess. You need biblical community. And if it doesn't stop there, and some of you are like, we're experiencing all this. Some of you right now are doubting your future as a couple. We say at our church, every marriage is a duet in need of great backup singers. And a great backup singer will picture a special future for your marriage. A great backup singer is someone you turn way up. You already know who the jaded voices in your life are. You know who the jaded family member is, that jaded coworker that you go to. That person you need to turn down, mute altogether. And get into this community, biblical community, that will speak life into and over your marriage. Because some of you right now are going, I don't know. And when you begin to doubt, this is when you explore other options. But going back to Matthew 7 and the foundation, if I can just encourage you, every couple builds their life on something. Can you ask the honest question today about your foundation? What's your foundation? If I can encourage you, let emotions be part of your life, but don't make them part of your foundation. Hey, emotions, my friend Ryan Pinnell, marriage and family therapist, he says emotions are like our children. We listen to them, we care for them, but we just do not allow them to make major decisions for our family. God places in you, you have emotions and you got all the good feels going on right now and young budding love and it's natural early on. There's nothing wrong with those, but they're not your foundation. We sang about that earlier. Okay, let experiences be part of your story, but don't make them your foundation. Something that happened to you in your life or in your marriage is not your fault. Christ is your, everything else is sinking sand. And I view marriage like a book, and every year is a chapter, and I feel like we have 25 chapters so far. There are difficult chapters to read. There are great chapters to read. All of it's part of our story, but it's not our foundation. Christ is the foundation. Let tradition be a part of your family. Just don't make it a part of your foundation. Build your foundation on Christ Jesus. And then every couple goes through storms in life. Every single couple in here goes through storms in life. And what we know about storms, storms reveal foundations. And guess what the pandemic did? It revealed the foundations, not just of couples, of individuals. I'm working with churches even right now, that it revealed foundations of churches during this difficult time. Not necessarily a cause of, but a revealer of. And this part, some of you are like, the storm brought this on, our marriage is destroyed because of what we went through. Listen, you didn't crash because of the storms that hit you. You crashed because you had a weak foundation. Jesus is clear about that. It's not just hearing the word of God. It's not just building, but it's building on the right foundation. And what's that foundation? Putting into practice the teachings of Jesus. Don't wait for a storm to work on your foundation. If you're at a place right now where you're like, Ted, we're experiencing high levels of marital satisfaction, where everything's good, this is the time to plug in. This is the time to lean in even more. We don't choose everything that happens to us in life. I choose a lot of what happens to me in life, but I don't choose it all. Some things are done to me. I do things to myself. But we do get to choose our foundation, and today's a great day to decide as a couple the foundation you're going to have for life and marriage. If you've recently divorced, can I encourage you, please work on your foundation before building a life with someone new. Lean into a recovery group here at Pine Lake. Find those voices to speak into your life and speak life over you, pointing you to Jesus, pointing you to the words and teachings of Jesus, applying them, putting them into practice. Get the work going on that foundation before moving on with someone new. And three very practical things. I told you I love specifics. These are, I just see it time and time again with couples who take on spiritual disciplines when the storm's hitting, and then when the storm passes, it's like, okay, now we're just right back to, no. Long after the storm passes, continue to lean into these spiritual disciplines. And fellowship is the one I'm constantly pointing couples back to. If you found your way back to church during a storm, stay put and work on your foundation. I've seen it time and time again. I don't know this couple that I'm meeting with right now, but they called. We have a marriage 911 program that has about 62 marriage mentors that work with people in our church and community. And at any given time, about 30% of the people that they're working with are part of our church. 70% are part of the community. Well, they go all in with everything the church offers. They're wanting their marriage back together, and they're wanting their crisis to pass and their marriage to be strong. And then when all of that begins to happen, we're like, hey, I haven't seen them in a while. Stay put. Keep working on your foundation. Surround yourself with the voices that are speaking life into your marriage. It's my favorite moment at a wedding. Some of you are like, that better not be a COVID wedding, or we're going to have some words right there. It's at the end of the wedding. I love when the father of the bride and the bride walk to the front. And when I do the welcome, I don't do a traditional welcome where it's just like, hey, friends and family, we're gathered here before God and gathered witnesses. You know, I like to use the every marriage is a duet in need of great backup singers. And every single person at this wedding today, I want you to know the bride and groom have given me permission to say this. You are not just invited to this wedding. You are invited into this marriage. And we want you to be good backup singers. I give a few moments of backup singing instruction and what it looks like, how to be a good backup singer, how to advocate for the couple, not just your favorite one in the couple. And then I say, at the end of the ceremony, there's going to be an opportunity for you to cheer like your favorite team just won. And so when I say, I now pronounce you husband and wife, woo, you may kiss the bride, woo. It's a privilege for me to be the first to introduce to you, Mr. and Mrs. Woo. But then, before that, We're going to give you an opportunity to gather around them here at the wedding so they know. It's kind of like my ordination. I'll never forget from 25 years ago words that were spoken in my ear by men that gathered around me in an ordination council. And I've been told by countless people and groomsmen and bridesmaids saying, I've never seen that done at a wedding, and I'll never forget the moment. Because guess what? Both dads often will pray. Mom will pray. I usually close it out. But we gather and lay hands on them. And let them know, we are here for you. We're going to keep pointing you back to the true and only source of life, the foundation on which you can build your marriage. The Institute of Family Studies under Brad Wilcox at the University of Virginia says 78% of regular church-attending couples, not professing Christians, but couples who attend church together would say one of two things, that they're either very happy or extremely happy in their marriage. That's almost 80%. Plug in to biblical community. Prioritize it in your marriage. If you cried out to God during a storm, keep praying long after the storm passes. If you reached for a Bible during a storm, keep it in hand. You're like, well, this is encouraging. While you wait for the next storm, because you know there'll be more seasons and stages of life that hit us. When Jesus was asked about marriage, I love this, talk about not making tradition the foundation of your marriage. Jesus was asked about divorce in Matthew 19. And there were two traditions in that day, two different groups. One group said that you could divorce for trivial reasons. The Bible says any and every reason is what they would claim. Others said, no, only for marital unfaithfulness. Jesus doesn't go at that when asked about it. He doesn't address the tradition. What does he do? He goes back to the foundation. He talks about the foundation of marriage when it was put together at the foundations of the earth. And this is what he says, and I love it. Haven't you read? Haven't you read? Not this tradition or that tradition, this feeling or that feeling, this experience or that experience. Haven't you read that at the beginning, the foundation was put in place. The Creator, this is his idea. Marriage is his idea. And he invites us into it. Made them, and he's quoting now from Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. Made them male and female and said, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. And we are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Let no one separate. And I'd like to do this as we close out our time. I invited couples at the 8 o'clock, and this service is no different. I want to encourage any couple. I wish I could get to know all of you. I wish I could hear your story. I wish I could find ways to help. But the good thing about a church like Pine Lake, I know you have all the help you need here. You do. But I just want to take us to that last moment in a wedding. And if you would like prayer for you as a couple, I'm going to invite you just to stand right where you are. Stand right now, and I want to pray over you. I want to speak a blessing over you and your marriage. Whether you're on the path of decision, you may be on the path of drift, praying for both. You know what I'm hoping happens tonight? There's some of you in here standing right now. You don't pray together as a couple. How cool would it be that tonight's the first night before your heads hit the pillow that you pray together as a couple? You've never read scripture together as a couple, that tonight you pick a passage, you read it together as a couple. What are you doing? You're laying the foundation, making the decision, and putting into practice the word of God. Some of you are like, well, we come when we can. We got a lot going on. But I'm praying that there are couples who go, this has got to be a priority. It has to be for our marriage. I'm going to ask that you bow with me as we pray. Father, I pray for every couple standing. Some are deciding and some are drifting. Some are living in discovery, curiosity, and fascination. And others are in disillusionment and disconnection. That today, they would know clearly that they're among the living and they have hope. And we still believe that Jesus breathes life into dead marriages. And they're like right there at the end between disconnection and divorce, thinking this is it, that today The Holy Spirit calls them by name. For the one in here divorced, who's like, I don't know how to pick up the pieces, and I don't know how to move forward, that they too would begin working on their foundation, knowing that Christ is the solid rock. And maybe they built a marriage on another person or on a spouse. Instead of building a life together, they built a foundation with one. No, that today they would declare Jesus as the foundation. I pray for the ones about to get married, that they would start and end their marriage with Christ Jesus, that they would make the commitment going in, that is, till the Lord returns or calls one of us home. I pray for the backup singers of Pine Lake Church, that there would be an army of backup singers that gather around couples to encourage them and to speak life into them. I ask now that the Holy Spirit calls them by name, and we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.